Thank you for your prayers. Wendy is doing well and in good spirits. The only sore part at the moment is her left inner lower forearm, where they took a graft from. The doctors are happy with everything. Please pray that all graft areas will take well to the surgery. And with that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll receive our offering after this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for the love that you've shown us in that you've sent your Son to die for our sins, to intercede on our behalf, Lord, and bear the punishment that we deserved rightfully. He was sinless, Lord, and yet he went to the cross to make atonement for the sins of sinful people like me and like all of us here this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of those who don't know your Son, who have not heeded his call to come to him in repentance and faith. Thank you for all those that have and the mighty work that you've done in each of our lives, your children, to call us to yourself. And pray that you would work in the hearts of those that don't know you as well, that they may be gloriously saved and come to a true knowledge of salvation, of Christ and his atoning work, and repentance and faith in that work. Lord, we pray for those who are sick in the church, your continued blessing and hand of healing upon them. Lord, if it's not your will that they be healed right now, we ask that you would nevertheless grant them the grace that they need to get through the trial, them and their families, and Lord, that you would just be with your children, your people, each step of the way, and that you would show them more of your goodness and your faithfulness through that trial. Though we don't understand it now, we know that you work all things together for the good of those who love you. And so, Father, we place our trust in that, and we pray that you would just undertake for each one in each of their situation. Pray for the preaching of your word, Lord, that it would be done so boldly, and that your truth would be clearly explained, that those of us who hear it would accept the truth, though it'd be hard to understand or hard to accept. We ask that we would submit ourselves to it, that we would humble ourselves under your word, and that we would be conformed to it, to the image of Christ, Lord. And we pray that you would have your sanctifying work in our life, the work of the Spirit, to conform us to the image of Christ and help us to be like him in our conduct as we go throughout our lives. Help us to be loving one another as Christ loved his disciples here on earth. Help us to show others the transforming work of salvation that Christ has worked and is working in each one of our lives. We pray for the offering that's going to be given, that those who give would give joyfully and out of love and abundance, and that what is given would be used for your glory, the advancement of your kingdom. And Lord, in all things, we ask that you would receive the glory and honor and power. Show us new and wonderful things about yourself from your word. We just commit the rest of this morning to you. We ask that you would be glorified in all things, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, everyone, our final hymn this morning before the message is number 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And isn't it? And can we all stand and we'll do all three verses of that hymn. Thank you.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. High I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, everyone. You may be seated. Children, you are now dismissed, and we'll have the pastor's message. Thank you.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see you today, and it took me till about Friday before I was well and truly better, but thank you for praying for me, and I know the sickness is going around, lots of sickness going around, and so pray one for another. Just a couple of other things. The brochure's at the back, just on the If you know of someone that's not presently in church, Easter is a fantastic time to invite them along, and both to either the Sunday morning service or the early morning service, we would love for them to come. If all the brochures are taken, let me know, and we'll get you more brochures. But please invite someone to come. Wonderful opportunity to get the gospel of a risen Savior to the world. Just a couple of other things. Happy birthday to John. We hope you have a good birthday today. And then Ted Blatchford passed away this week. And so please be praying for Miss Jan and Aaron. I enjoyed my visits with Ted and always wanted to talk about the Bible. We always had Bible time when I was with him. And so pray for Jan. She actually had a heart attack after in response to all. So pray for her. She's in the Townsville General. And pray for the family. I would appreciate that. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask blessings there. Father, thank you for your care and goodness. And Lord, we bring before you this morning Jan and Aaron and family. Lord, that you'd give much grace. Thank you for that Ted knew the Lord, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we thank you that for his testimony, for his love for your word. And we pray, Lord, for Miss Jan now, that you would give healing grace to her and that you would just bring her back to health soon. It's a long journey ahead, having lost her husband, and I just pray, Lord, that you'd give much grace there. Pray for our others in church that have lost loved ones, even in the last year, Lord, that you would continue to provide that calming grace, the your presence and care for them. We thank you, Father, that you care, and pray that you'd be glorified in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you to turn your Bible somewhere in just a minute, but not yet. All right. So actually, you can turn to Luke chapter 7, but we're not going to talk about it just yet. Luke chapter 7. In fact, I'm going to read so many different places today that I'm not going to take time to do a Bible reading per se. This was my view. It's not the best. I wish you could have seen it in live. This was my view on the way to church last Sunday. And it was an amazing double rainbow. And I couldn't just get out. It was raining and such. But it was just so beautiful. And it just reminds us of God's care and of his promises. This morning, as we're getting closer to Easter, I think it's fitting for us to talk. Actually, every sermon, every Sunday, we should be talking more about Jesus. That's what we want to know. But this morning, I want to ask the question, who is this man? Who is this man? And several times in Scripture, that question is asked, who in the world is this man? Who in the world is this man? And Jesus asked in our Bible reading this morning, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he said to his disciples, who do others say that I am? And some said prophets, some said this, that, and the other. And then he asked them, who do you say that I am? So this morning, part of this is I'm asking you and myself, who do I say that Jesus is? And if you know him as Savior, we're halfway there. But this morning, we're going to even look at those that know him as Savior, and there's going to be times they say, who is this? So let's look. First of all, who is this man? First of all, it's a question asked by the closed-minded people. closed-minded people. Now, a closed-minded person, do you think you know someone that's closed-minded? And I hope in some ways that we are determined that whatever the scriptures say, we're not going to go away from it. But a closed-minded person is a person who is unwilling to consider new ideas or opinions based on either preconceived beliefs or fear that they're going to be wrong. They're not willing to consider anything else. This morning, I want to look at the first people that we're going to look at that asked this question, and they are closed mind. So Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading there, and we're beginning reading in verse number 17. Begin reading in verse 17, and it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them there." So right off the bat, we're introduced to the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. These guys, they were very well educated. They were very morally good people. They separated themselves from other people, thinking themselves to be above everyone. And in fact, they would have been just sort of standing, forgive me just for a minute, they would have just sort of been standing on the wall, up against the wall, watching Jesus, watching him teach, watching him and listening to him. And just whatever he said, they were taking it in. They were judging it. They were saying, So these guys assumed that they were the sort of the guardians of truth. They thought themselves above everyone else. Well, they're there, but I love what the end of that verse says, and it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now wait. These guys, they think they're God's gift to everybody. And yet, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. They were sinners too, just like everyone else in the room, just like the guy that's going to be, well, we're not going to spoil the story. It's going to come into the story in just a minute. We're all sinners, and his power was able to help them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. So here we have four friends and this man. And if you can just imagine, the four guys, they get to the door. And they are a little disappointed, but not discouraged. And when they cannot find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. So before we just lose the plot here, they didn't all just climb ladders and throw him up there. There would have been stairs going up the side of the house. It would have been a flat roof. And something like this, I think Luke says that they're tiles, but lots of the roofs were like this. They would have had the wood beams, and they would have either had sticks or something there to guard, and then put dirt and leaves and other things on top. It would have been a solid, but it could be broken up and easily replaced. So when they tear a hole in the roof in just a minute, the owner of the house is not going to say, "You've ruined my house." I mean, can you imagine us trying to do that today with our kind of roofs? Andrew, would that cost a lot of money? Because it cost a lot of money. So just a different context. So they go up to the roof. And you have to love their ingenuity, man. They're thinking outside the box. Can't go inside. We'll go up. So they go up. When they could not find by what way to bring him in, they went up, and they let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, can you imagine? First of all, there's the hole that opens up. And then all of a sudden, these guys on each corner of this fella, they start lowering him down. They start lowering him down little bit by little bit, little bit by little bit. And when Jesus looked up, he saw their faith, all five of them's faith. Because the guy on the bed could have said, "You're not lowering me this way." They're all saying, "We believe he can help me." The Lord said unto him, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." He didn't initially say, "I see your faith, you're healed." Now sometimes he did that. But this time, he looks at that man and he says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, I love that in that the man didn't look at Jesus and say, "How dare you say that I have sins?" The four, they kept lowering him down. They weren't offended by it. They knew this fellow was a sinner just like everyone else. They knew he needed his sins forgiven too. But the guys standing on the wall, they had a problem with it. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now that is what? A good point. Who can forgive sins but God alone? No one. And by the way, I'm sidetracking just for a minute. When he says he'll forgive you, he really does mean it. He has the authority to forgive you. It's beautiful. But Jesus had the authority to forgive, and the scribes are saying, "How dare this man? Who is this which speaks? Who does he think he is? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, you look at Matthew 1:23. Matthew 1, when Jesus was born, do you remember what one of the descriptions of Jesus? He would be the Savior. His name was Jesus. "But thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," for that being interpreted is what? Somebody. God with us. He is God with us. He is, came down from heaven as a babe in God's perfect plan, lived under mom, under stepdad Joseph, grew up, lived a perfect life, and here he is. He's healing, and he has the authority to forgive sins. But they can't see that. They just can't get it. Why? Well, they had never met someone like that before. And you know what? Jesus is like no one else they had ever met. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, "Why reason you in your hearts?" Why are you thinking like that? Is it easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? Now, which is easier to say? In all honesty, they couldn't say neither. That was bad English. They could not say either. They didn't have the authority to say, "Your sins be forgiven you." Or if they did say it, how would you know? They didn't have the authority to say, "Rise up and walk." That'd be embarrassing. That's like when I teach our eyes, and I'm doing creation story, and I say, let there a cheeseburger appear. I'm trying to show God's power. I say, cheeseburger appear. And it's like that. It never does. And you know what? They could say, rise up and walk. And he would have never walked. But then Jesus does this, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go to thy house. So that you know that he has power to forgive sins, stand up. And immediately he arose before them and took up whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This man, Jesus, he just showed, he just proved. He says, if I'm have the authority to forgive sins, this man's going to rise. And he did. He arose with his sins forgiven. He arose with the authority, the power to walk. Jesus did this wonderful miracle. And it says there that the crowd, they were all amazed. And they glorified God. And were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things this day." Just a couple of things. They were all amazed. First, it just means it was just like they were wild. This was so exciting. They were filled with fear, and then they said, "We have seen strange things today." And the word "strange" there, it's the idea of a paradox. It's the idea of a paradox. It's not what they were expecting. They were seeing something that they weren't expecting. When Jesus healed this man, they weren't expecting it. Now the Pharisees, they still were the same. The Pharisees were still not willing to say, yes, yeah, we believe. Why? Because it was different than what they had assumed about Jesus. It was different than what they had assumed about Jesus. Jesus had acted contrary to what they knew. You know, as I thought about us being closed-minded, some people are closed-minded. God can't help them. Jesus isn't real. Religion is just a bunch of rubbish. It's just all a money maker. Some people are closed-minded because of their education, either their degree or hard knocks. The Pharisees, because of their degree, they were well-studied. And even though they should have seen that Christ was going to do these miracles, they didn't. And they thought, well, if it doesn't make sense to us, it must not be. Some people, their education of hard knocks, they didn't go to school. I'm thinking about the thief on the cross that did not repent. The thief on the cross that did not repent from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. He swore at Jesus, swore at Jesus, swore at Jesus. The other one repented. But this man, he just wouldn't change. He had been a sinner just that long. Some people are closed-minded just one way because of their education. Some people because of their age. Some people, in young people, they know everything. Sometimes young people know everything. Sometimes older people know everything, and you're not going to change their minds. Someone told me the other day that someone in their 50s, they just get to where they just don't care about anything else, just whatever. Folks, I hope that's not us. I hope we take things in stride. But I hope we just keep going. We keep learning. We keep growing. Some people are closed-minded because of their lifestyle. And I'm thinking of those in Romans 1 who they knew who God was, but because they loved their sin, because they wanted to do the wrong thing, they said, you know what? We're not going that way. So the first person that wanted to know who was this Jesus were the closed-minded. The second one are the confused. Can I ask you something? Do you ever have anything happen in life that just confuses you? Well, John the Baptist was this man. In fact, Jesus in our text today, now you can turn to Luke chapter 7 now, verses 15 to 23. It says there that he had just healed. He had been walking by. He had just been walking by a casket. This mom was burying her son. And he sees this mom all broken up and upset, and he touches the casket. The son rises up, and that's World War II. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and it delivered him to his mom. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited the people. So everybody's so excited about Jesus. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea that he had healed this young man, and through all the region round about. Okay. And then it gets back to John. It gets back to John. John had been following the Lord. In fact, he had been the forerunner of Jesus. He's in prison now. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John calling unto him, two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he or that should come, or look we for another? Who are you, Lord? Who are you? If you'll remember, John was in prison for telling Herod that he shouldn't have his brother's ex-wife. He was also in prison for telling Herod that the things he was doing were sinful. So Herod had him arrested. It didn't seem, though, to John that he's confused. Here he is in prison, and really he should be out, he feels, telling everybody, get ready for Jesus. Because you go back to Luke chapter 1 and talking to Zacharias, he says, Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He mom and dad could say, John, this is what the angel said of you. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to go before Jesus. Well, you know, he didn't mention the prison part. And John here is thinking, now wait just a second. I'm supposed to be the one going before Jesus and telling everybody about him. And I'm stuck in prison. When the men were come unto him, they said unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? You know, do you ever have confusing times in your life. You're trying to live your best for the Lord that you can. And you know that problems come. You know that trials come. You know that difficulties come. But for whatever reason, you weren't expecting things to work out like this. You weren't expecting things this is different circumstances than you anticipated. And John sends his disciples and they come to Jesus, and Jesus knows exactly what to say. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way. Tell John what things you've seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." Now John would have known that those were all Old Testament credentials of the Messiah. The Messiah would be able to do those things. He would be able to heal people like that. He would be able to help them. He would be able to heal people. He would be able to help them like that. He's pointing them back to his word, pointing them back to who Jesus is. And he says, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And you know what he did is he looked at the person of Jesus. He looked at his character. He looked at the things that he's done. And can I just ask, when you're tempted to ask that question, you're confused, and you're saying, "Who in the world am I serving?" When life's circumstances confuse you, think about what else he's done for you. Think about the goodness of his word. Think about what he's got in the future. We see not only the closed-minded and the confused, but there's also the comforted. I'm going to fly through this one a little bit quicker, if that's okay. You remember the story where the disciples, I think most of the Gospels mention where the disciples are on the boat, storm comes up. The storm comes up, he's asleep. And they finally wake him up and say, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" The boat was filling with water. They were in jeopardy. They come into him. He gets up and he rebukes the wind. It says, and the raging of the water stopped. They ceased and there was a calm. And he said unto them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Sometimes we who are the comforted, we say, "What manner of man is this? Who is this man?" You know, it's good for us to remember who Jesus is. It's good for us to be reminded of his power. Ephesians 3:20-21, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And then there's the curious. This is Herod. Herod, who had put John to death, he had beheaded him at the request of Herodias' daughter. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, "John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things?" And he desired to see him. So he wanted to see, He asked the question out of curiosity, who is this man? It's not that he was willing to change. You know, sometimes people, they're curious about who Jesus is to see what they can get from it. They're in it just long enough to see, well, what can I get from this? Sort of like in John chapter 6, the people who kept following him for the bread. When things got tough and difficult, they walked away. Well, here Herod, he says, who is this? It can't be John. Surely he's not risen from the dead. Is it somebody else? I want to know. Who is it? Well, he finally gets to meet Jesus after Jesus is arrested and getting ready to be crucified. This is at the end of Jesus' life. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. Why? Did he want to say, I'm sorry for the way I treated John the Baptist? No. He had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him many words, but he answered him nothing. He just wanted to see a miracle. Jesus didn't say a word to him. His response, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. You know what? If you give one of these brochures to somebody, they may come along, and they may come along just to see what it's like. You know what? Praise the Lord. If someone's willing to come along, you know, Jesus was there. He had given Herod all that time to learn about him. This time, he says no. Some people aren't willing to believe. They just want to know more facts. And then the last one, the crowd. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that last time, before his death, you remember on Palm Sunday, they were putting their clothes, they were putting the palm branches to level out the ground so when the donkey walked, it would be nice level walking for Jesus, for the donkey. And everyone was saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, woo, woo. Some of the crowd said, who is this? Who is this? At that point, they said, is Jesus a great prophet? So my question to us this morning is, who is Jesus to us? Who is Jesus to us? It's fine for him to be, if people are going to be closed-minded, and I remind you, just because a person is closed-minded doesn't mean they always will be. You think of the apostles, Paul. Paul was he was one of those Pharisees, and he was willing to change. The Lord changed him. You know, any of these things that we're in, any of these categories, we just need to make much of Christ. So this morning, who is Jesus to us? First of all, I hope he's Savior. And then I hope we're getting to know him better and better. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us when we're confronted with life's realities, with the hard times in life, and the confusing times, the difficult times, that we would not make rash decisions about your care for us, unless it's that you do. Help us to know that you are in control and that you care, that you got a plan. It's great for us to be set in some of the things we believe, but they need to be based on truth. Help us, Lord, to be willing to grow in those areas that we need to grow in. pray that you would help us as your people to be blessed and to understand your blessings to us and how you deliver us and how you help us each day. I pray that you would help us to be more than curious, but that we'd want to grow in our faith and our following of you. The crowd, they have different views of who Jesus is. May others be able to see us as lights to point them to Jesus. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and draw us to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn today is I Surrender All. And if I can be of help to you, please let me know.
Thank you, everyone. If you can stand, and we'll do that final hymn. And please feel free. We'd love to have you for some fellowship afterwards. If you'd like a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, something to eat, we'd love to have you there. Oh, sorry. And can we do two verses, please? What number is that hymn again, please?
394.
394. Thanks.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee. My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care.